Today I want to talk about the Asara Haruge Malchus. Okay, nothing very, very deep, just a couple of short ideas and ideas, some things from the Shari Nechama, some things from the Kinois. Okay, so let's just discuss. Actually, I think 2 years ago, last year, we spent a few days going through the Medrash Eile Esker. Do you remember that? We have it handouts. Yeah. We went through Milos. Let's just go through some of the basic pieces. The first is, so the thing that really stands out very much in the Medrash Eile Esker is a mashal. The mashal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these beautiful trees, Maisa Bereishis. Hashem created these magnificent, tall cedar trees, and the trees felt gaiva. They got a little carried away with themselves. Because they were magnificent, they were beautiful, they were tall, they towered over the rest of the world. And then one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create Barzel, iron. Now the truth is, iron in the Maisa Bereishis came before the creation of trees. Barzel was part of the earth, that was on day one. Bereishis, Bar Elokim, Mesa HaShemayim V'Yesa Aretz. And trees, Deshe, came forth on day four. So it's a little bit complicated what it means, the Medrash, but it basically means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man who was able to quarry, to produce, extract from the earth Barzel. When the trees saw that Barzel was created, immediately their hearts melted. They were humbled because they realized that the object that can destroy them has now been found, and their time on this world is limited. It's just going to come a point in time when people are going to need the wood for construction, for their purposes, and it's going to be cut down. So the Medrash Eichon, the very beginning, says that's what the story of the Asara Haruge Malchus is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it had a minimal impact. That's what it says. It's a very shocking, very frightening medrash. It had a minimal impact on the mindset of Klal Yisrael. It's true, the Shechina has left us. The Kedusha has left us. We no longer have the second. They were referring to the second. Mm-hmm. This is because the Asara Malchus took place during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash.
It was the Shechina wasn't there the second.
Right, so you're right. In Echnami, so it fits even better, because what's the difference? The Shechina was not 100% present at the second Beis HaMikdash. So now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so nothing really has changed.
So we
can't bring korbanos. Okay, there are things. The Medrash says that the impact that Klal Yisrael had was not that great, because they said the Iker is the Talmidei Chachamim. As long as we have. Talmidei Chacham that can guide us, we have leaders, we have Jewish leadership, then we will survive, we will be okay. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Asara Haruge Malchus, Hashem took away the 10 greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael, that was the equivalent of the Barzel being created and chopping down the trees. I'll read you the exact words. Kishabara Kadosh Baruch Hu es, this is the Medrash Eile Esker. It's a very important Yisoid. It fataiches the essence. Right. Arze Halavonon, the cedar. Ideally, right. So it fits very well with those words. Let me read you these words. Kishabara Kadosh Baruch Hu es hoilonois. Hoyu miskoim bikoimosan. They were arrogant due to their exalted height. And they continue to raise themselves higher and higher. But here is the very what?
When you say arrogant, who is being arrogant?
The trees.
Trees. No, but
Klal Yisrael. The followers. Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the Nimshal. Klal Yisrael, not the tzaddikim, the hamoinam, the masses. The masses said, so what, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We have Jewish leadership. Jewish leadership is just as good, if not better, than the Beis HaMikdash. Let's see the exact words. The Kevon, here is the big part. The Kevon, Shebaro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es HaBarzel, Hoyu Mashpilin Atzman, the trees humbled themselves. Remember when they said, Oy Lanu, Shekvar Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dover Sheyichroi Soysanu. So here, then what is the Nimshol? The Nimshol is, Kach, Achach, just a few more lines. Kach, Achach, Ubin Abayis, after the base Hamigdash was destroyed, Hoyu Piritse Hadar. So I've made a mistake. It does not mean the Hamoina. It means the Piritse Hadar, the low people of the generation, the ones who make breaches, the low lives. Hadar Miskoim the Amru. They were arrogant and they said, "No, so the base Hamigdash was destroyed. Mahif Sadnu Bezesh Nechav Habayis. Hooray! Yesh Beinenu Talmidei Chachamim Shemadrichim Lesol Elam B'Torasa V'Mitzvaysof. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Lev HaKesar Shel Reime Lilmoid, to learn Teras Moshe and to go discover, and the whole story began to unfold and came the Asara Harigei Malchus, and this humbled Klal Yisrael." Okay, that's one very important idea.
Did I think.
What?
Were they right about the Beis Hamikdash?
They were wrong. There is a degree of Kedusha that comes with the Beis Hamikdash that cannot be replaced. But there was still a degree of Gaiva. There was still a degree of, okay, so the Mikdash was destroyed, it's okay. We still have Talmidei Chachamim, and that's good enough. When the Asara Harugei Malchus were killed, then we were left with nothing. Left with nothing was
but
very...
They were not all killed in one.
Right, we're going to discuss. Let's discuss that right now. The Medrash, they were discussed over a period of approximately 90 years. Okay, the exact dates are not known. The first two, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol and the Nasi, Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, they were the first two. They were the Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Shimon was the Nasi. They were killed right after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, immediately. They were killed, in fact, they were killed before. They were killed even a month and a half before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Mikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and they were killed at the end of Chodesh Sivan, the 25th day of Sivan, which is about 1.5 months before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The remainder, the other eight, most of them were killed 52 years later at the time of Beitar. Beitar fell 52 years after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and two of them, or maybe more, were killed a little bit later, about another 40 years, or maybe 30, 40 years later, in a later Tkufa. So it took place over a period of 90 years. Bar Kochva was Beitar. Bar Kochva was the Tkufa of Beitar. So two were killed before the Churban actually happened. Another group were killed at the time of Harugei Beitar, and the remainder were killed at the very end, even later, at a later Tkufa. Three different periods of time, over approximately 90 years. The Medrash Eicha says that this was all considered to be one generation. That's a very important point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the question was, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait? Now we all know that we read this on Yom Kippur in the Kina of Eila Eskara. Eleskor, there's much more detail given to Asara Harugei Malchus, and there it is said explicitly that the reason why they were killed is a punishment for Mechiras Yosef, that the brothers sold Yosef as a slave and they dipped his tunic in blood. In punishment for that, it has to be that in Klal Yisrael 10 people corresponding to the 10 brothers that were involved in the Mechira would be killed. So the question was, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu wait 1,200 years? I think that's the number. They give 1,200 years for this punishment to come about. The answer is because there was never a generation since the time of Mechiras Yosef in which there was 10 tzaddikim present at the same time. That's what's critical. There were definitely yechidim, individuals who were great over the period of time from the beginning of Mechiras Yosef until the time, at that point in time, but it never happened that in one generation there were 10 outstanding individuals living together at the same point in time, which seems to indicate that these 10 people, their lives overlapped. Even though it's approximately a period of 90 years, maybe it was less, maybe it's more like 70 years, their lives overlapped, and they were considered to be one generation, and it was this generation that was selected to serve as a kapara for the mechait of Mechiras Yosef. And that, in our understanding, is impossible for us to understand, and to go talk about Gilgulim is not for us to talk. To go talk that in the Shamas and the Skalgal, all of the people they make mention of this, the Tosfos Yontef, one of the main commentators on the Mishnayos, he writes that the only way you could understand this is with the concept of Gilgul Neshamos, that these Neshamos were some sparks of the Shvatim, of the Shivtei Kosh, came back into this world to die, to atone for their sins, but it's considered to be one generation, broken down into three parts. Okay, now there was a sefer that came out a couple of years ago called Asara Harugei Malchus. It was written by a person whose name is Avner. I think it's I forgot his last name. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But there was a Choshva sefer. The whole sefer is all about Asara Harugei Malchus. In this sefer, he collects 42 piyutim composed by the early Paitonim to focus on the Asara Harugei Malchus. 42 major piyutim. We are only familiar with, he has them, he actually has them, you can read them. We are only familiar with, in our liturgy, two. The ones that we, Ashkenazim, we say on Tisha B'Av of Arzei HaLevanon, and on Yom Kippur, Eila Eskura. The Svardim on Tisha B'Av recite Eila Eskura. Okay, they do not say Arzei HaLevanon. If you go to a Sfardish, a shul, you will discover they have a different set of kinos. They have kinos that they focus on the Spanish Inquisition, on the Spanish, on the expulsion, I'm sorry, the expulsions. They have different sets of kinos, and one of the kinos that they do different is they do not say Arzei HaLevanon, they focus instead on Eila Eskura. But we Ashkenazim, we do not do so. We have a much shorter version, Arzei HaLevanon, which is much shorter, and they have Eila Eskura. Now, in our kina, it's only mentioned 8 of the 10. Okay, it's only mentioned the 10, and they say that there are missing 2 lines. There's somehow over the Golas, 2 of the 10, somehow one line has disappeared. And if you look in some of the better kinois, they have in brackets the 2 lines that are missing. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, who are the 10? Who are the 10? So we'll mention in a moment who are the 10, but the truth is, if you go and you study the 42 piyutim, you will discover that close to 20 people are candidates to be the Asara Harugei Malchus. Okay, we in our kina we have 8, and then we know we're missing the line which completes it to 10. But that's only according to our version of Arzei HaLevanon. But other Paitanim had different traditions as to exactly who were the 10 Asara Harugei Malchus. You combine all the names together from the 42 piyutim, you're going to have about 20 different people. And okay, whatever that means, it means. But there were many people that died during this tkufa al pi kiddush Hashem. Which one is considered to be from the 10 Asara Gemalchus? Okay, that all depends on who you want to focus on. There's a lot of discussion, literature, a lot of discussion as if that we know that it's a kapara for Mechiras Yosef. Which one of the Asara Gemalchus corresponds to which one of the Shvatim? It says it explicitly in Medrash. The Medrash called Eila Eskara. It's a Medrash, and the Medrash goes back from the time of when it actually happened. It was composed, and in Eila, in the Piyut, of Eila Eskara, it's explicit in the Piyut on Yom Kippur.
Rome in general says, right, as the punishment to somebody,
So it's, but and that where does the Piyut come from? The Piyut comes from the Medrash. When was the Medrash written? It was written when it actually happened. It was written at the time when it actually goes back to the original source, which is about 2,000 years ago. This Medrash was written by Tanoim 2,000 years ago, and that is the source. And it says there that, but you should be aware that there is a one of an early historian is called Rabbeinu Yachya. Rabbeinu Yachya, he is like a late Rishon, and he says that to say that it came from the punishment is a fabrication. There's no such thing. To say the reason why the Asara Malchus was killed was because of the Mechiras Yosef is nonsense.
We knew it because of Ben Traja
yeah,
killed, and Rabbeinu Ruya, the whole family was being chased.
Okay, but to say that all of this was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef, so that Rabbeinu Yachya. And we are all brought up that it was a kapara for Mechiras Yosef.
I thought Mechiras Yosef was Bashar.
No,
What do you mean it's Basharat? No. No such thing. It was Bechiri. It was a terrible sin.
Or it was just a pretext for the Romans to do what they did.
A pretext, okay, possibly. But was it actually... How do we understand such horror? How do we understand such incredible horror could happen to Tzaddikim? What did the Tzaddikim do to deserve this? Okay, whatever it is, but Rabbeinu Yahya goes to town. Rabbeinu Yahya says that the Paitonim invented this in order to awaken people to do tshuva. They made up things that are not true. How can you say that we are responsible 1,200 years later, a group of people who are tzaddikim, kedoshim, ketoya harakia, should have to suffer because of a chait that happened to someone's sin 1,200 years ago? This is... The Medrash says this, so he says the people who wrote the Medrash, Rabbeinu Yahya, who lived not that much longer after the point when the Medrash was written, not that much longer after, he says that the Baitonim took a poetic license to write things that are totally not true, just to draw people's hearts. So this is the question: when you have a Medrash, how literal do you take a Medrash? So we are brainwashed today, and you're asking each other, why did the Asar Harugi Malchus, why would they say brutally murdered? It was a kapara for Mechiras Yosef. Rabbeinu Yahya says you're not allowed to say that. That's not a Torah Dika Hashkafa. You can't go say that if a person, he has a problem, his things are not going his way. Oh, you know why this is happening to me? Because my great-great-grandfather, he did an Avera, and that's why I'm suffering. This is not Scientology. Okay? The Idolus is not Scientology. It's not a hocus-pocus religion of Gilgul Neshamas, magic, this one comes. That's not a healthy way to live. When I grew up in yeshiva, the word Gilgul was a dirty word. You're not allowed to say the word. There's no, what kind of, what Gilgul Neshamas? You're a Gilgul of this one, you're a Gilgul of that one. This is Yadus? It's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. It's hocus-pocus. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not Yashus. We live in a generation today. This is in the street. This is everywhere. Oh, it's a Gilgul of this. To me, it all sounds like Scientology. Sure. No? This is not a derech. This is Kabbalah. You want to learn Zohar? So learn Zohar behind closed doors and keep it to yourself. Don't go bring this type of idea into and contaminate a healthy mind of a person who has to learn how to live with emuna pshuta. Yeah.
Yeah, it just occurred to me that we've talked before about certain averos that have long-term repercussions, like Mechiras Yosef and the Meraglim. And the thought occurred to me that those weren't sins of individuals. Those were sins of the nation as a whole. Obviously, the Ten Brothers represented the nation as a whole. The spies represented and were followed by pretty much the nation as a whole. So therefore, the repercussions are national, not...
National. They're not individual. So this is the nefesh of Klal Yisrael. There is still a tinge. Well, some of the first want to explain is that there is still a tinge of the same chait of lo yochru l'dabru l'shal. Let's discuss this idea. Why on Tisha B'Av do we have to focus on the Asar Harugi Malchus? So one answer is very partial, that we have to mention all the tzars. On a day we focus on the Chur Beis Hamish, we throw in all of the collective tzars of Klal Yisrael. But there's a much more better answer is why did they sell Yosef? Sinas Chinam V'lo Yochlu L'Dabroi L'Shalom. Dabroi, Dabru, what is it?
Dabro
V'lo Yochlu L'Dabro L'Shalom. They could not get along. They were Sinas Chinam. They were Sinas Chinam. And therefore, what do we focus on Tisha B'Av? On Sinas Chinam. Therefore, that's why it is very appropriate for us to focus on the Asura Harugi Malchus on Tisha B'Av. There's a very, very fundamental question. There's a big machlekes among the commentators. Did Yosef ever forgive his brothers? We do know that he did. They did, seemingly, the pasuk says they asked forgiveness. After Yaakov Avinu died, they approached Yosef. Avinu tzivu lefnei Moshe leimar, forgive us. Sona peshachecha v'chatasam asher ki ragimalucha, forgive us. Your father commanded that you forgive us. Nowhere in the Torah does it say if Yosef said yes. But many of them are
farshim. Yes, it was lip service.
Oh, so that's the question. That is a debate that there is no answer to, and there are many of the early commentators discuss this, and many say there is no question.
What did Yosef answer? Don't worry about it now. You're going to pay for it. But
later. So the Babinella says he was not Meichel. He was not Meichel. But there are many Rishonim, there are many that say that it is certain Yosef HaTzadik was not called a Tzadik for no reason. He was Meichel Belev Shaleh. There's no question that he was Meichel. There's a Machlokes. Was he not? Mefalpel back and forth. So let's for argument's sake, that Yosef HaTzadik was Meichel Belev Shaleh. Right. If he was Malchal Belev Sholem, so how could it possibly be then that 1,200 years later, Klal Yisrael, the Asarim Malchus, are suffering for a sin that was forgiven? So Etesder, he says something very poshut. It's not only him. He says, it's true that they may have gotten Mechila from their brothers, but nowhere do we find them asking Mechila from Yaakov Avinu, the Tsar they caused their father. For 22 years, Yaakov Avinu Vayimohen Lehisnachem. For 22 years, the Shechina departed from Yaakov because it was not. What?
For
22 years. And what about Yitzchak? What about the tzaddik cause the Yitzchak? Chazal tells us Yitzchak knew that he was alive, but he said, if Hashem has not told Yaakov, I'm not going to spill the beans.
So,
but he didn't. He not have tzar. Didn't Yitzchak have terrible tzar witnessing his son Yaakov live 22 years? Whenever he died, in the middle, at some point in time.
When they took him out of the, that's what it said.
He died shortly thereafter.
They took him out of the pit.
After 2 years.
180 was that year.
But at least for that period of time, Yitzchak also suffered terribly to witness his son Yaakov suffering over the loss of his son. So there was enormous collateral damage. Maybe when it comes to the brothers in Echnami, they got Mechila, but there's no Mechila for Yaakov for 22 years, and there was no Mechila for Yitzchak. So therefore, that has to be counted for. That's why the Asara Harugei Malchus is a kapara for the Mechiras Yosef, which caused enormous tsar to the parents. That's a very powerful Liman Musar. Pam would always say, every year, Pam, one of the biggest shiurim Pam gave in yeshiva, I was there for the shiurim, but he gave on Shalom Friday. The last years of his life, his Friday shiurim became like a community a Reisman share, where the whole community would come to the Friday Chumash Shiurim. But Shabbos Parsha, Erev Shabbos Parsha, Chayei Sara, the whole city came down. Because this was a fame he spoke about Shidduchim. Shidduchim, Chayei Sara, he gave a shiur on Erev Shabbos on Shidduchim. So he said every year, he said a var from his mother. Why does a Chassan and Kala fast on the day that they get married? Because of all the tsar they caused their parents in the process of Shidduchim. So I told all the tsar they caused their parents. So I told this to my mother. So my mother says, one fast will never do it. One fast is not gonna be a kapara. You have to fast your whole life for all the tsar you caused your parents. Therefore, It's a very powerful limud hamusar. It may very well be they got tsar from mechila for the brothers, but what about the tsar you caused your parents?
Well, that's why the mufarshim blame Yosef as well.
Oh, so that's another question. Now let's discuss that right now. See, why are there 10?
He didn't get a hold of his father either.
So now we have another question. Why are there 10? 10 lud, 10, 10 keneged 10. How many brothers participated in the mechira? Well, there were 10 brothers. There were a total of 12 brothers. Let's not forget. Yosef plus the 10 brothers plus Binyamin. Binyamin was in the crib. Binyamin was home. And Binyamin was not part of this at all.
Right.
That's according to some. That's why the Mikdash is built on his territory, because he did not participate in the Chiras Yosef.
Yeah, but then Yehuda also.
No, Yehuda did. Yehuda did. Reuven. Reuven was not present. Oh, Reuven was not there. Reuven said, throw him into the pit. Yehuda was the one that said, why should we kill him? Let's sell him. Yeah. Yehuda just said, let's...
He was the one that was responsible for the Mechira.
Oh, so he's even worse.
Yeah.
He's worse and he's better. He said they were going to kill him. So he said, let's do the Mechiran, but he was there. But who was the one that was really from the 10 brothers that was not raised? Well, first of all, Binyamin is out. Yosef is the victim. He's being sold. So all we're left with now are 10 brothers. But Reuven was not on scene. He had an alibi. Reuven had an alibi. You can't blame me. I was busy doing tshuva. I was mourning over Bilhah.
To start with, he was there at the beginning.
Okay, Enoch Hanami, he was there at the beginning. He's the one that threw them into the pit in the beginning, but he was not present at the moment when he was sold. So the question is he really guilty to the degree that a replacement, someone at the time of the Bayis Sheni, should be killed in his place? There were 10 people who died. They are Asara Harugei Malchus. Who they are, mystery. We have different kinos, but there are 10. This is a number that is etched in stone. There are 10 Asara Harugei Malchus. 10. 10 which are 20.
Yeah.
Right? But there are 10.
Yeah.
The question is, why do they have to be 10? There should only be 9. Yosef. Oh, that's one of the answers. Let's first bring out the question. Why are there 10? There should be 9. Who should the 9 be? It should not include Reuven, he was not present, and it should not include Yosef, who was the victim, and certainly, according to all opinions, it does not include Binyamin. So why are there 10? So let's go to the answers. So one answer, as Mr. Merlis says, is because
Yosef.
He was
alive.
Not only was alive, but Yosef also participated in the hatred.
Right.
Yosef, v'lo yachlo
Dabro
l'shalom. Dabro l'shalom. Yosef also.
Vayoveh Yosef
estibosom ro laviyan. He also participates. He's also the cause. Sometimes the victim is also guilty. Okay, that's a very scary concept in today's time when you talk like that in politics, is that the victim is to blame. Politician makes that statement, he's in a lot of trouble, right? He gets into a lot of, you can't say that. The victim is to blame. But Chazal make the statement that Yosef is also to blame, and therefore Yosef also needs kapara. That's answer number one. Answer number two is Reuven. Push it. Reuven's also, as Rabbi Mayevsky said, Reuven also, he was part of he wasn't present, big deal. He wasn't there when they actually sold him. But Reuven was one of the 10 people who threw him into the pit. He was one of the 10 people who participated in this plan. So he's also guilty. A third answer, this is a very powerful answer.
But it says right in the text that he did that only so we could come back and rescue him.
Bottom line is, he should have done more. He was in on the plan from the very beginning.
He was always a little too late.
He was too little too late. He was part of the plan. A third answer is, it's a chazal, it's a medrash, that when the brothers, they got together to sell him, at the time of the Mechira, They wanted to have a minion. They were very religious. We're doing this l'shem shamayim. What we're doing here, the Chazal say this. The Mechir wasn't just they weren't just the mafia selling off their brother. They did this draped in talis and tefillin. We're selling Yosef l'shem shamayim. He is a roidif. The Klal Yisrael is threatened. The existence of this person will destroy Klal Yisrael in the future, and we have no choice but to kill him. But you know, we have Rachmanis. By Rachmanis, we won't kill him. We'll sell him. Hopefully, he won't interfere, and Klal Yisrael will be able to develop without him. And the Melech HaMashiach will come. We're doing it l'shem shemayim, and do l'shem shemayim. We demand that the Shechina, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, join us. Hashem has to join us in our efforts. So there were 9 people. You know, when you have a minion, you only have 9 people. Can you make a minion with 9 people? What do you do? Open up the Aron Kodesh. Open up the Aron Kodesh and you take a Sefer Torah. Where does that come from? Open up the Aron Kodesh and take a Sefer Torah. What do you have in Makar to do that? Yosef's to the brothers, from the brothers. They wanted the minion. They wanted v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. We're doing the Mechira l'shem shamayim. V'nikdashti. It's going to be Klal Yisrael is threatened. They have Kavana. Groisa Kavanas.
It is a tradition, whenever they make a Yosef Shemir,
yeah,
when they have the Mechira,
yeah,
the lights blink like
because the Shechina was there. Yeah. The Shechina. You're not allowed to make a Yosef spiel. You're not allowed to do that. Make a show. They sat down. They should have been fasting.
Well, let's eat.
They did such a mitzvah.
So that's mitzvah.
Yeah, that's okay.
So they were mitzvah, the Shekhinah with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a world where He allows you to do such a thing. That's part of the chira that Hashem gave man. It's a very deep concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given man the power to basically, it's under your control. There's a davar kishem kedusha. If you wish, you can abuse kedusha, and that is exactly what they did. They abused the Shekhinah by forcing the Shekhinah to participate in this transaction. The Shekhinah was a member. Therefore, the tenth man of the mechira was not Yosef. He was the victim. It was not Reuben. He was not present. It was the Shekhinah. And therefore, there had to be 10 people had to die to be mechaper, and one of the 10 represented the Shekhinah. Which one of the 10 represented the Shekhinah? Rabbi Akiva. How do we know? He died Yotzon Nishmasai Be'echad. He was saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Echad is Hashem Elokeinu. He represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forced into the Mechira Shaloi Kedin. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, what this means also requires that there be a Kapara, the one representing Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's why Rabbi Akiva came from Gerim. Why Rabbi Akiva? He was not really part of Klal Yisrael. He was an outsider. Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of a Ger, and therefore it's not part of the main part of Klal Yisrael. He was an outsider. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also an outsider. He's above Klal Yisrael. Says this, and Rabbi Tezna. Yeah, you don't believe me? Hashem Yatzah Nishmasa Biyachad. He was the 10th man representing the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not making this up. You can't make this up. No, this is not so complicated.
No, not yet.
All right. All right. Okay, now let's just discuss a couple of other things. A couple of quick things. There are some issues. The first two to die was. Now, I don't want to throw out some loose ideas. Just very quickly, just drop some ideas. I don't have a good answer. Maybe someone can elaborate. Everything that happens in this kina is depth. The first two to die was the Nasi and the Melech, Rabbi Gamliel, and. The Kohen Gadol was Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and they were debating who should go first. Mechubed Rabbi Shmuel. No. You go first. Come to the door. Who goes to the door first? What is going on over here? The fighting over who's going to die first. So it says, Yadu Chendas. Each one argued, Let me go first. I don't want to see my friend die. I want to go first. These are very deep. So they said, Yadu Goyro, let's cast lots. The Ribbono Shel Olam will decide who goes first. What is the depth? What is the deeper meaning of casting lots? Who goes first? I don't have an answer. I just want to throw an idea. There are two different... The leadership of Klal Yisrael is divided into two parts. There is the Malchus and there is Kahuna. There is the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Each one has a very different role. And the shleimus of Klal Yisrael is only complete when the two operate together. This is now coming to an end. With the Misa of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Gamliel, the leadership of Klal Yisrael is coming to an end. The question is, but there's going to be a tekufa where one will remain. If you can only have one without the other, which one is still necessary for the continuation, the functionality of Klal Yisrael? That is the argument. If we only can have one, which one is critical? Is Malchus critical or is the Kahuna critical? This was the debate. They weren't just arguing, you go first, I'll go first, I don't want to see you die. We're talking about Klal Yisrael. What's going to happen now is going to have ramifications in what's going to be in Klal Yisrael down the line. Which one will remain, will guide Klal Yisrael until the coming of Mashiach? That is something which they could not determine and had to be decided by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself through a goyel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a goyel is a very holy thing. A goyel was used on Yom Kippur. A goyel is used to divide up Eretz Yisrael. A goyel is holy, it's very, very holy things. It's mamish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking, and it was decided that it's more important for their kahuna to remain than Malchus to remain. What?
The
Kohen
Gadol died first.
No, the Melech died first.
Who died first?
Rabbi Gamliel died first. Rabbi Gamliel died first, and that's the question. How was Rabbi Yishmael allowed to hold his head? He was Metame. He was Metame Lemes. The first one, Yadu Goyol, Mi Rishon Lecherev Beruda, Kinfol Goyol Al Rabban Shimon. Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel, the Nasi, the Melech, was the one, the Nasi, who was the place of the Melech, he was the first one to die. Pashat Savaru Bocha Kinigzra Gezera, Rabban Shimon, Chozar Hegman, Lahargo Benefesh Nitzura, Mizera Aaron Shah, Bevakash Levchosa Ben Agbisa, he wanted to cry, let me mourn, don't kill me right away, let me first mourn, let me eulogize over the Melech. So that means, at this point, what remained in Klal Yisrael? What remained in Klal Yisrael was the Koyein Gadol without the Melech. What is the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is that for Klal Yisrael to survive, it's not so important for there to be a Melech. For there to be, now I'm going to say controversial things, a Medina.
Right.
Okay, we survived almost 2,000 years without a Medina.
Yeah.
What kept Klal Yisrael going? The Torah. The Torah. What is the, who is in charge of the Torah? The Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, the Kohen is Yoyu Mishpatech Liyakov Yisarascha Liyisrael. Jewish continuity depends upon Torah. It depends upon the Kohanim HaKedoshim, which means who has taken the place of the Kohanim HaKedoshim or the Talmidei Chachamim. What?
It's not so controversial.
But having an establishment of a land of a Jewish land, it's a gewalt gezach. No one's denying the fact Eretz Yisrael. But look at the ma'isa. Look at a ma'isa of a simin labanim. There is this debate. What is essential for Klal Yisrael? The goy will determine that when Churban has to happen, what has to remain, no matter what, is the Kiddush of the Kohanim, even if there's not going to be a Malchus.
It's very good. And then when the Geula comes, the Malchus has to come back.
Exactly.
Geula.
It doesn't say that over here. It doesn't say that. That's your interpretation.
So when you go to the Geula, you need to bring back the Malchus. So even though you have a Medina, that's not perfect.
Okay, I'll tell you one more quick word, and we'll stop. One more quick word is over here. It says that what did he do? It says something very, very bizarre. Kinful, he fell. Rabban Gamliel, he put his peh al peh. The way he mourned upon him was he put einav al einav, his eyes on his eyes, piv al piv, his peh al peh. What is that all about? Why does he put his peh al peh, his head is severed, and he's putting his peh to peh? Where do we find in Tanakh
Elisha?
What did he do it? What chiyas hameisim? What is he doing here? He's teaching us how to deal with tragedy. They just had last Sunday, they had a big event. Dr. Mandel, he had a big event, Shavuos Betamos, it was broadcast online with Sassoon. Gavriel Sassoon and Pesach Kron. No, over here in Bay Avenue in Merkaz HaSimcha, they had dealing with tragedy. It was a they had locked the doors. They could fill up three halls. They turned away more people than were able to get into the doors. Really, and online they were like 7,000 people watched it online.
It was online.
Online, a matzif and Yeshiva World News. Well, there was no money collected. The money there was to get in. So the money didn't even pay for what it cost to set everything up. The money, there was no money. No money was collected. The money was very, very minimal. I know firsthand. I know the people that are involved. There was the money. There was no money involved. It was the Shem Shemayim. What?
The link is still available.
Well, now it's all. They took it over. Torah Anytime. It's on the homepage. Torah Anytime. Torah on the homepage. They have. They took it over. They have. You can see the three speakers. But what did he do? Dealing with this tragedy, he did an expression of Techias HaNesim. When Rachmana Litzlan, when there's such a tragedy, the Melech was killed, his expression was Peh al Peh, Einav al Einav, which in Tanakh means Techias HaNesim. In the last thing, in the Mizmah, in the Kina of Yom Kippur, of Eile Eskira, it says that he cried, Mar Kishoifar. The sound that was coming out of it was bitter like a shofar. Why does the python add the shofar? What was shofar? What is the shofar about? Shofar represents life. Vayipach ba'apov nishma. Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? All the Mepharshim say is when you're blowing is because it's the anniversary of Hayim Harasalam. It is the anniversary of the creation of man. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give life to man? Vayipach ba'apov nishma schaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew. He blew breath into man. Blowing of the shofar represents chayim. When Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was killed, was murdered, what was the reaction of the Kohen Gadol? Don't worry. There will be Tchias HaNesim. It's bitter, but the bitterness is kishofar. Shofar represents vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. What else? Peh al peh. Piv al piv, ayin al ayin, techias hamesim. Tragedy, you have to have emuna. And the ultimate emuna is animam be'emuna shlema. What's the last animam, the last second plus animamim? Shetchiyat chias hamesim. So this is all alluded to here in this kivya.
He wasn't even sitting shiva yet.
Yes.
He didn't bury any.
Techias hamesim. Emuna in techias hamesim. Okay, we will stop over here.